It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, now at 10 p.m. right here on 77 WABC. And of course, throughout the world at mybradio.com. That's MYB Radio. That's for Mind Your Business. mybradio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. Of course, we got to celebrate this to the max. We are in the top 10 in New York AM radio. We actually came in number 3 in this time slot, so pretty cool. That's, of course, according to Nielsen. Very special thank you to all the wonderful listeners of the Mind Your Business show. Well, as the listeners know, every single week we interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many business categories and professions, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, leadership, retail, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Tropper, the show's producer. Thank you. And, of course, to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays an important support role for the show. Srilly, Rina, Miriam, Rivka, Dina, thank you. And to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. And a special mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the Take 5 column. Previous episodes have included the interview we had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Greg Chalker of Capital One, Christine Comerford, Yossi Heber, the founders of Warby Parker, and others. Subscribers to Mishpacha Magazine get to see it, and of course it's available on newsstands nationwide. We're of course also on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, and we have our own dedicated YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. You go to YouTube, there are over, well over 30 great episodes that are posted. The one we had with, so many. Even the one with, I think Matt Britton was also up there. Could be Matt Britton was just on the iTunes. But so many great guests and episodes that we've had that were videoed. Matt Sweetwood, that one's up there. They're up there on the YouTube channel. Also, before we get to tonight's guest, special thank you to last week's guest, Coley Edison, the Chief Customer Officer at Bolmar AMF. That episode wasn't videoed, so it's not on the YouTube channel, but it is available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, we'll go to tonight's guest, Brad Stolberg. He just put out a new book together with Steve Magnus called Peak Performance: Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. Brad speaks internationally on the subject, and therefore we encourage the listeners of Mind Your Business to stay tuned. We will discuss what the world's best leaders and thinkers have in common, how to perform your best and optimize your work habits, and of course the ideal work-to-rest ratio. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Brad Stolberg. Brad, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here.
Of course. Thank you. Well, let's talk about the new book. I mean, Peak Performance: Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. You know, when did you get that moment to like, you know what, I'm just going to write this book? When did it all come together?
So it's definitely been a long time coming. Over the past 3.5-4 years, I've focused my writing predominantly on the field of human performance. And what I mean by human performance is normally we hear about peak performance, we think athletics, but I'm interested not just in what athletes do to perform at their top, but also what creatives, entrepreneurs, business people, and artists do as well. So I had been reporting on this topic, like I said, for the past 3-4 years, and started to see these common themes that would emerge regardless of the domain or really regardless of the craft that, that a great performer was practicing. And the more that I heard these stories in my reporting and in my interviews, and the more that I saw parallels across various fields of research, the more that I thought, hey, it seems like there's a real package to put together and potentially enough for a book. So this thinking coincided with the rise of burnout, particularly here in the United States of America, although it's a problem globally, is that more and more workers are feeling burnt out. So at best, they're becoming apathetic and losing motivation. At worst, they're actually suffering physical ailments from either overwork, working the wrong way, or a combination of the two. So my budding interest in the wealth of reporting and research that I had been amassing, plus the I guess in combination with the timing of kind of the current pulse here in the States, gave birth to this book.
Hmm. Now, you know, I'm sure this is something that comes up in, you know, in any interview or any conversation about this book. You're just in the tagline, right? Elevate your game, avoid burnout. And that's, of course, such a big discussion, whether it happens to do with a certain age or because of the hours. I did, you know, in preparing for this interview, I saw one of the things, you were at McKinsey, right? And you were putting in, what, 20 hour days. You know, what are, how does it happen and how could someone avoid it?
So it's a twofold thing. I think that, you know, to start with the first part of your question, how does it happen? I think there are two paths to burnout, and in cases are the worst where these two paths crisscross and overlap. So the first is what I like to think of as more structural issues. And that is things like just raw numbers of hours worked in a day, right? If you're working 18 to 20 hour days and you're not sleeping, that's not sustainable for very long. Eventually, that's going to impact your performance. It's going to impact your emotional health and your physical health. So I like to think of that as how we work, you know, number of hours in a day. Are we taking breaks? Are we giving ourselves opportunities to disconnect? Are we taking extended breaks? The second reason that burnout occurs is also why we work. So as individuals feel like their motivation for work is no longer internally driven, or they feel like they're not working for some kind of greater cause or something meaningful, they're much less likely to endure the effort required to sustain peak performance and to work really well. So I think that, like I said, it's the most troublesome cases are where those things overlap. Because if someone's working crazy hours, but they have a strong purpose, a strong why for where they're working, they might be resilient to those crazy hours, at least for a decent period of time. Now, if someone's working crazy hours and they don't have a strong sense of meaning or motivation behind their work, they're just not going to last long.
Mm. You know, fascinating a look and a view at something that's, I shouldn't say baffle so many because you explained it really well, but it's, you know, like you said, if the purpose is there, so then, you know, the stress level is, you know, is on a different plane. But if there's no meaning to it, then I guess a person can get burnt out, even you know, kind of on a very minimal, you know, on
a more moderate stress level. Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, I want to be clear. Even if the purpose is there, you could have all the purpose in the world, but if you're working 20-hour days, maybe you get by for 6 months, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. But you can sustain more stress and sustain more stress for a longer period of time when the purpose is there. And you know, to kind of take this out of conceptual high level talk, I think that you could just, listeners will probably know that if you're doing something that really makes you tick and you feel like it's going to benefit something or someone that you care about, odds are you're going to be willing to work a lot harder at that thing and feel pretty good about it.
Right.
I think an area where this is really just a prime example is in medicine. So burnout is a real issue in medicine. Depending on the data source, between 45 and 55% of physicians are feeling burnt out right now. Mm. And on the one hand, physician hours have increased, and it's always been a pretty arduous job with lots of hours. But I speculate, and a lot of experts that I've interviewed, that the recent scourge of burnout with physicians cannot solely be attributed to a minimal increase in hours. much more likely is that as medicine has become more computerized and more technologically driven, physicians are kind of losing that intimate experience with the patients, which is what provides meaning. So it's one thing to work a 60-hour, 70-hour a week job where it's super meaningful. You feel like you're making an impact on people's lives and it's very tangible. It's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to go to school for all those years and then feel like you're spending half your time coding, looking at a computer screen, documenting notes. So I think that's a prime example where people just kind of jump to the conclusion that it's too many hours without exploring this other side of the equation, which is the meaning and is the purpose there.
My guest this evening is Brad Stolberg. He, along with Steve Magnus, just authored the brand new release, Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. Well, they're being very gracious. One lucky listener is going to win a copy of Brad's new book. All you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB. Again, just text over MYB to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win it. Of course, the book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores nationwide. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you own a business, you've got competition, so you have to be different. The number one proven way to be different is to write a book. Think about what The 7 Habits did for Stephen Covey and what The Tipping Point did for Malcolm Gladwell. At Black Card Books, we have a system proven to position you as an authority in your market. Join us for a 2.5-day boot camp, September 22nd through the 24th, and learn the steps toward becoming a successful author. Visit publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. That's publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. Increase your influence, your sales, and your income. Go to publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind your business right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Brad Stolberg. He co-authored the book along with me, Steve Magnus, Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. Well, guess what? One lucky listener is going to win a free copy of this book. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, one lucky listener is going to win it. Again, put in those letters MYB and send it over to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win this book, and everyone else will be lucky also by buying it. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores nationwide. Again, Peak Performance. Well, Brad, thank you for taking of your precious time to join me here on Mind Your Business.
Yeah, it's a great conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, in your book, you discuss about the world's greatest leaders, that they follow a very similar growth process. Could you explain that?
So in you're exactly right. In the book, my co-author and I call it the growth equation. And it's a simple yet profound equation. It is stress plus rest equals growth.
Nice. that sounds too simple.
Yeah. It sounds simple, but when you pick apart the various elements, it becomes a little bit more complex. Right. So starting with the first side of that equation, stress. When I say stress and when I write about stress, I don't mean it in a conventional sense of feeling stressed because you're in a fight with your significant other or being stressed out because you're about to have a performance review at work. I use stress much more in a biological sense, and that is simply a stimulus that challenges the body or the mind. The rest part of the equation is pretty clear cut, and that is being able to step away and disconnect and recover to whatever stimulus that you've experienced. So the key to growth is to apply these stimulus and to seek out challenges that stress your body or your mind and then to recover and rest after them so you can adapt to them. The easiest example to understand this is how you'd make a muscle stronger. So if you think about your bicep muscle, the big muscle on your arm, if you go to a gym and you pick up a weight that is way too heavy and you try to curl it, what's going to happen?
Collapse.
Odds are you're going to throw out your back, you're going to rip your bicep tendon, or you just won't be able to do it and you'll quit. So that's the definition of too much stress. And if the dose isn't right, you're going to get injured or you're just going to give up. Now, the opposite end of the spectrum is if you go to the gym and you pick up a 1 or 2 pound weight, something that hardly weighs anything at all. If you sit there, you could lift that weight all day and your muscle's not going to grow because it's not enough stress to serve as a stimulus for growth. So what you're after is you're after the Goldilocks weight, right? Something that's challenging, that's out of your comfort zone, that will push you very close to fatigue, but isn't so stressful that you're going to become injured lifting that weight. And then the last thing is, once you find that perfect weight, if you sit there and you were to lift that weight all day, every day without ever taking breaks, your muscle would literally burn out. It would fatigue and you would not be able to lift that weight anymore. You go backwards. So the key to making your bicep muscle stronger is to find an appropriate dose of stress. That's that weight that challenges you, pushes you out of your comfort zone, to lift that weight, and then to step away, rest, recover. And it's only after you rest and recover that your body comes back stronger so you can slowly progress and lift more weight. What's fascinating is that process that I just described also applies to creative and emotional growth.
And could you explain that? I mean, even though you explained it really well, but on the creative emotional growth side, can you even just...
Let's do it. So in the literature on creativity, scientists like to think of creativity in three broad stages. So the first stage is called immersion. And immersion is when you are deep in the work, right? You're kind of fully absorbed into what you're doing. Then the second stage is called incubation. And incubation occurs when you step away from the work. And the third stage is insight. And insight is when you have that aha or eureka moment. Mm-hmm. And what researchers have found is that insight, your best chance of having those moments, only occurs after incubation, after you step away from the work. And a prime example that brings this to life that just about everyone I've ever met has experienced is having a great thought either in the shower or while on a walk.
So true.
And that explains this process perfectly, right? Because what happens is you've been doing work, head down, effortfully thinking about what you're working on, and then you step away. And you let your mind wander when you're in the shower, or you let your mind wander while you're on a walk. You kind of distract yourself so that your mind can be at ease and rest. And it's either during or immediately after those periods of rest that we tend to do our best creative thinking. So to me, it was fascinating to realize that the process of growing a physical muscle and the process of growing your mental muscle is very much the same, right? It's deep focus work. It's lifting that weight. It's thinking about whatever problem you're trying to solve, then stepping away so your mind or body can recover. And that's what leads to the breakthrough. That's what leads to growth. And emotional growth, very, very similar. The way that we build capacity to take on increasing stress in our life is by gradually increasing the stress that we take on and then following that with rest or recovery. So an example that I like to give that, it's kind of a humorous example, but it's very true, is I think this is how a lot of romantic relationships work. While some people can do it, very few people suddenly get married, have kids, start new careers, move across the country together, do all that at once. Again, it can be done. It's not to say it can't be, but for a lot of people, that's a lot of stress without time to reflect and recover in between. So generally, a progression looks like you kind of do those things in bits and pieces, and you work your way up, and eventually you develop the capacity emotionally to take on more stress together as a team. So I call it the universal growth equation, and that is taking on stress or challenge, stepping away from it to rest and recover. That's what leads to growth, and then you rinse and repeat.
I want to remind the guests that one of the great guests that we had not so long ago was Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. And he also discussed, I mean, he runs this great program out of Toronto and other locations. And he, you know, he discusses the concept with entrepreneurs about free days. You must have certain free days built into your, to your load, because otherwise, just there's the burnout factor. But also, like Brad just mentioned, at some point, the creativity just is not there because you're grinding, and when you grind, the creativity just doesn't come to the top. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think your past guest in your summary is spot on. Something that I've employed, and I write about this in the book, and I also work with some executives that I coach on this concept, is, again, it's a very simple shift, but it can be game-changing. And that is to stop thinking about rest as something that is separate from the work and something that is causing you to sacrifice time spent working, and to start to think about rest instead is a part of the work. So lots of entrepreneurs, business people, type A pushers, the reason that they don't sleep enough, or the reason that they don't take breaks, the reason they don't go on vacation, the reason they check their email all weekend, isn't because they don't want to perform well. It's the opposite. It's because they do want to perform well. And they think that by constantly pushing, they're working more. And if they work more, they'll perform better. They'll be more productive. And when rest is viewed as something separate from the work, is stepping away from the work, it seems like that's a cost, correct? The time that you're
right,
not working.
Right. That's what it seems. That's what one
bad.
Would think, right?
But if you reframe rest and you start to think of rest as a part of the work and as a part of your process, it becomes much easier to take breaks. And at first it feels like a leap of faith, but right. Anyone that tries taking some regular breaks over a week, you'll immediately experience benefits. And that's not just me talking. There's so much science that shows that, again, that's how the creative process, that's how your mental muscle becomes stronger. So, again, the simple paradigm shift is just to start thinking of rest as a part of your job. So as a writer, before doing all this research, I would try to write my way through entire days. And when I took a break, I would kind of get down on myself, and I'd think of that as time that could be spent writing. Now I think of my breaks as just as important as the time when I'm at the word processor. And sure enough, it's during those breaks that I have ideas, that I solve sentences that I was tripped up on, that I put paragraphs together. So I think that rather than thinking of rest as separate from the work, it's so beneficial to think of rest as a part of and in harmony with the work.
Great point. Now, in the book, you discuss priming. What is that, and how can I implement that into my daily routine?
So sure, priming is the notion of doing what you can to design your day and design your environment to give you the best chance to perform well. So two big elements that I go into detail about in the book. The first is this notion of routines. And routines are very powerful because they lend a sense of predictability to your day, and they put your mind in a very sequential space and prime your mind to perform. And I'll speak a little bit about routines in 1 second. Mm-hmm. And then the second big bucket is environment. And designing your environment is around your workspace. So are you setting up a workspace that is conducive to the type of work that you're doing? Or are you actually putting obstacles in the way of doing good work that you could literally physically remove? So starting with routine, what the research shows is that while routines are very, very beneficial, there's no one right routine for anyone. So there's so many books and so many self-help gurus out there saying, if you just wake up at this hour and drink this kind of coffee and then take a power nap and then do this kind of CrossFit workout, you know, you'll access your peak performance. And those 99.99% of those people are charlatans. That routine might work for them, but to have the audacity to say that that's the routine that's going to work for someone else is just wrong. What the research does show is that if you can figure out your N of one, your personal routine that works for you, then yes, it can prime you to perform really well. So unfortunately, I wish there was a quick fix in the book, you know, just put this kind of butter in your coffee and your brain will grow. It's not how it works. You have to do a lot of self-experimentation to figure out the type of routine that will put you in the best place to do your work. And again, that varies widely. For some people, it's meditation. For some people, it's exercise. Some people, it's coffee. Some people, it's tea. Some people need 7 hours of sleep, some need nine. So it's really about figuring out what works for you, but then doing what you can to stick to it.
My guest this evening is none other than Brad Stolberg. He co-authored the book, along with Steve Magnus, Peak Performance: Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. And one lucky listener is going to win a free copy. All you have to do is send a text over to 64600, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Send it over to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win it. Otherwise, of course, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores nationwide. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
If you own a business, you've got competition. So you have to be different. The number one proven way to be different is to write a book. Think about what The 7 Habits did for Stephen Covey and what The Tipping Point did for Malcolm Gladwell. At Black Card Books, we have a system proven to position you as an authority in your market. Join us for a 2.5-day boot camp, September 22nd through the 24th, and learn the steps toward becoming a successful author. Visit publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. That's publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. Increase your influence, your sales, and your income. Go to publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB.
And we're back. Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. And of course, to the many tuned in around the world, mybradio.com. And of course, those that are listening on the app, the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is Brad Stolberg. He co-authored the new book, Peak Performance: Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB. Three letters, MYB, for Mind Your Business. Send it over to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win it. Well, Brad, you write in the book about, and we touched on this earlier in the interview, and that is that you have to have a higher calling. If you have a higher calling, then it will promote your professional and personal growth. Maybe, again, you could discuss that angle.
So, yeah, I think that purpose, in whether, you call it a higher calling or a sense of meaning, I like to call it purpose. Mm-hmm. Purpose is by far the most profound and powerful performance enhancer that there is. Purpose is especially powerful if it has to do with something beyond yourself, or what might be called a self-transcending purpose. So doing something to help others or to benefit a greater cause. As a writer, I think that looking at the extremes is a great way to understand some of these phenomena. Mm-hmm. So the extreme example of the power of purpose comes in situations where perhaps a child or someone's pet gets stuck under their car. Mm. And the person is forced to lift the car off of the child or pet. So these things do not happen frequently. These are rare events. But they happen frequently enough where there's an entire field of scientific inquiry and research around them. Scientists refer to these as acts of superhuman or acts of hysterical strength. And what's so interesting about these events are if you take people that have been the heroes, that have lifted the car, and the next day you offer them $1 million, mm-hmm. $1 billion, any kind of normal traditional incentive reward, and you say, lift the car, you'll get the money, they can't lift the car. No way, no how. But when there's a child or when there's an animal under the car, somehow they're able to muster the strength to lift the car. And what researchers speculate is going on is that our brains have evolved over evolution a protective mechanism to protect ourselves. So the brain is shutting down the body. The brain is saying, do not lift that car, because if you try to lift the car, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to throw out your back. You might have a heart attack. And if the reward is self-driven, like monetary, that part of your brain is still online and still shutting you down. But if something that you care about deeply that's beyond yourself is stuck under the car, the part of your brain that's concerned with yourself, activity just kind of diminishes. And you have access to this whole other realm of strength because you're not so focused on yourself. You're not focused on protecting yourself. You're focused on saving the thing that's under the car. So again, that's the extreme umph degree example. Right. But this plays out in other settings all the time. So many athletes, when they do what was thought to be impossible, perhaps it's winning a major race at a very old age or shattering a world record when no one thought they could. Reporters inevitably, when they cross the finish line, ask them, what was going through your mind when the pain came on?
Right.
How are you able to fight through the fatigue? And not one of these athletes ever says, because I was thinking about how great it would feel to be champion, or because I wanted to win the medal, or I wanted all the money and sponsorship deals that would come from winning. It's never the case. They always say that they were reflecting on their family. If they're religious, they were having a spiritual experience. They were devoting the performance to their God or some kind of higher religious calling, or they had dedicated the race to some sort of charity, or perhaps raising money for a friend with cancer, some kind of higher calling. And, you know, on the one hand, you could think, well, they're just saying that because it's the PC thing to say. But what scientists have done is scientists have actually had people in labs exercise themselves to complete fatigue. So until they're tapped out and they say that my muscles can't contract anymore. And then what they do is they'll send an electrical current through the muscles of the research subjects. And sure enough, the muscles will contract with full force. So what this has told scientists is, much like in the car example, the brain shuts down the body when the body still has more to give. But if you're not thinking about yourself, if you're not concerned with protecting yourself, then you can kind of override that central governor in your brain to get more out of yourself. And then the last example, so I've given a kind of extreme example, I've given a sporting example. This plays out in more traditional workplaces all the time. So countless studies looking at everything from conventional office workers to business professionals, to hospital custodians, to college scholarship solicitors, have found that when people link their job to a greater source of meaning or a higher calling, and they're reminded of that higher calling frequently, they perform better, they burn out less, and they have a better overall experience at work.
Folks, such great insight and perspective from the author of a brand new book called Peak Performance. Peak Performance. Elevate your game, avoid burnout, and thrive, the new science of success. Well, Brad, how important, let's talk about some of the fundamentals. Exercise. You know, is it, okay, we understand there's a certain amount of stress on the body if the body's overweight. Does it really have an effect does it have psychological benefits as well?
So unequivocally, yes. And there's an enormous body of scientific research that gives me the confidence to say unequivocally, yes. Mm-hmm. So studies have shown that exercise is almost like a miracle drug for the brain, in both in the short term and in the long term. In the short term, just a 30-minute bout of aerobic exercise. Doesn't have to be anything Herculean. You don't have to run marathons. You don't even have to run. You could just take a fast-paced walk. 30-minute bout of mild to moderate aerobic exercise increases creative thinking and problem solving by up to 40%.
Wow.
So that's kind of the quick hit short-term benefit. The long-term benefit is more and more studies are starting to show that better than brain training, better than doing crossword puzzles, even better than reading is exercise at helping stave off dementia and other cognitive disorders such as Alzheimer's. So it's interesting because, like you said, we like to think of exercise as good for lowering your blood pressure, preventing osteoporosis, very physical things. And while exercise does all that, the more recent research is showing that it might be equally as beneficial for the mind.
Wow. My guest this evening, Brad Stolberg of Peak Performance. That's the new release that he just put out together with Steve Magnus. One lucky listener is going to win a free copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600, and you're automatically entered to win. Again, one lucky listener is going to get it. Everyone else is, you're in luck also, but you just have to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or bookstore nationwide, and you could pick up a copy, again, of Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. And by the way, those that follow me on social media, they get the inside scoop of who my guests are going to be in the upcoming weeks. My Twitter handle is YSaftlis, YSAFTLAS. Of course, I'm on Facebook as well, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, the whole thing. My guest this evening is Brad Stolberg. He wrote the new book, Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. If you're just tuning in now, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up on the iTunes channel for the show. The easiest way to access it is by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. I want to remind the listeners that one lucky listener is going to win the copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, MYB to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to get it. Everyone else, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the whole thing. Also, all our previous guests, the interview we had with Captain Sully Sullenberger, the one we had with Jeffrey Hazlett, all the guests, over 115 guests already, they're all available by going to mybradio.com. mybradio.com, and you could select by the industry. There's so many different ways of checking it out. And of course, tonight's guest will be up on the archives by Tuesday morning. Well, Brad, of course, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Yeah, it's been really great chatting Peak Performance with you. So
thank you.
Again, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, you definitely get us all into the, it must feel great, on the topic of peak performance. I got to ask, do you ever run into someone who says, I don't, this subject is not that interesting to me? You feel like probably whacking him in the head.
Yeah, no, most people like it. It's a good topic. I have the opposite problem, which is everyone thinks that I must just be the embodiment of peak performance, and that's not the case. If I could practice everything I preached, I wouldn't be doing radio shows. I'd be a millionaire.
We're all human.
That is the truth.
Now, in your book, you do discuss, you touched on it earlier, but we'll ask the question straight up. How important is it to get a good night's rest?
Very. It's hard to oversell the importance of a good night's rest. So sleep is just critical. It loops back to an earlier part of our conversation on the importance of rest more broadly. And if I had to name one type of rest that is the most important, it would be sleep. So more important than vacations, probably I'd say more important than exercise, more important than meditation. Sleep is just absolutely critical. So sleep is so important because the brain does most of its work, going back to the growth equation, stress plus rest equals growth. Mm-hmm. Most of the growth in the brain comes during sleep. So throughout the day, we expose our minds to all kinds of stimulus, right? The problems that we work on, the people with whom we interact, even simple things like when we drive to the grocery store or walk to the grocery store, we see cars in the parking lot. That's all information that goes into the brain. Brain does a pretty miraculous job of sorting through all that, deciding what's worth keeping in storage, deciding how to connect ideas, deciding what should stay top of mind, deciding what gets buried in the subconscious. All of that processing that ultimately allows us to grow and become smarter, that all happens when we sleep. So it's almost like you could think of everything that you do during the day as just kind of setting the stage for the brain to work its magic while you sleep. So sacrificing sleep it makes no sense to me. And again, kind of like rest, people think, well, you know, if I just get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'll be able to do more work. You might be able to work more hours, but I would say almost always the quality and the quantity of the work suffers. So the science here is pretty clear. There's some individual variation in this range, but for 99.999% of people, a minimum of 7 hours of sleep and ideally 8 hours of sleep is optimal.
You know, I had this epiphany a couple of years back where occasionally I have to travel to handle a media project, either in a different state or overseas. And I remember thinking to myself many times, let's say even there was a certain job I was doing in England, and I decided, you know, why should I lose time of the day? I'll take one of these overnight flights. I'll work a whole day, let's say, I'll work the whole day Wednesday, take a flight overnight, get there Thursday morning.
Oh, that sounds awful.
and I don't sleep well on a plane. So, and I remember the first few times I tried, and I'm like, and then I'm like dragging myself through the day, like just trying to really, you know, and then it hit me. I'm like, wait a second. You know, I really should fly during the day, take along a book, take along something to read. And if I drift, you know, fall asleep, fine. But, and then get a good night's sleep. Don't look at that night as like, oh, it's, I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to kill a night. Wait a second. You said it really well. But I had this epiphany as you're describing it, because then it finally hit me after a few times of doing it. I'm like, wait a second. I'm just going to have to fly by day, because just that's how I operate.
Yeah, and it's not just you. I mean, it's not how you operate. It's how humans operate. And again, I think that people kind of assume that they're the special one or they're the person that can get by on no sleep. But that's no one can get by on no sleep. And I think, like you said, that reframing, right? We're all human. We play all kinds of tricks with ourselves and our minds. And just simply telling yourself that, you know what, sleep is an important part of my job. And I'm not sacrificing by sleeping, I'm enhancing by sleeping. Well, then you're much, much less likely not to take the red eye, or, you know, not to stay up burning the midnight oil. Again, I could sit here and talk about all the science and all the studies in the world, but I think more powerful is just to, again, ask listeners about their own experiences. So my guess is that almost all, if not all of your listeners will have had an experience where they were working on something to meet a deadline and they were working late at night. And they were stuck. And they probably worked till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then they maybe found that, okay, it's good enough. Still not great, but whatever, I'm just going to go to sleep. And then they wake up the next morning and then they're redoing the whole thing and it's 10 times better. So it's like, why don't you just go to sleep 2 hours earlier? Because you're going to do it again in the morning after you sleep. And that's not like some kind of magic happening. That's just the science of how the brain works.
Wow. Now, what is biohacking? What is that all about?
Am I allowed to swear on the show?
So, no, I'm going to get knocked off the air.
I'll use an acronym then. Okay. Biohacking to me is just BS. And I think everyone knows what BS stands for. So biohacking is this notion that there are all these kinds of quick fixes that will help you optimize your brain and body. So this is the kind of stuff like the people that are out there trying to sell you a special mushroom tea. Or if you wear this magnetic headband around your mind. People actually market these products, right? A magnetic headband that promises to optimize your brainwave function for better creativity and thinking. A lot of drinks. There's a drink called NeuroBliss that I write about in the book. And they've made a claim that their drink can help enhance cognitive performance. But the one study on NeuroBliss showed that it was no better than water. So there's a whole suite of products out there. that are saying that they can help you, quote unquote, hack. And the notion of a hack is like a quick fix,
right?
Your way
right.
to better health and performance.
Right.
And none of them work. It's kind of back to this conversation. And again, a part of the reason that I wrote the book is there are methods that work, but they tend to be slow and they tend to require work.
Right.
So stress plus rest equals growth. Seeking out challenges, making yourself uncomfortable, gradually, incrementally growing the challenge and making sure that you take enough time to rest in between, that will make you better. But that takes time.
Right.
Priming, developing a routine, being really strategic about how you set up your environment, eliminating distractions like your cell phone, that will help you perform better. But that takes time and effort. And cultivating a higher calling and cultivating a purpose, for lots of people, that's a life's work. Will make you perform better, but that takes a lot more effort than a special drink or magic pill.
My guest this evening, Brad Stolberg, he co-authored the new book along with Steve Magnus, Peak Performance, Elevate Your Game, Avoid Burnout, and Thrive with the New Science of Success. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text to 64600 and put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Again, three letters, MYB. Send it over to 64600. And one lucky listener is going to win it. Otherwise, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at bookstores nationwide. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
If you own a business, you've got competition. So you have to be different. The number one proven way to be different is to write a book. Think about what The 7 Habits did for Stephen Covey and what The Tipping Point did for Malcolm Gladwell. At Black Card Books, we have a system proven to position you as an authority in your market. Join us for a 2.5-day boot camp, September 22nd through the 24th, and learn the steps toward becoming a successful author. Visit publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. That's publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. Increase your influence, your sales, and your income. Go to publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. Of course, as we mentioned before, all previous episodes of Mind Your Business are available by going to mybradio.com. If we happen to have a video with that guest and it's up on C-Suite, it's available. I mean, that's really the best destination. Just go to the dedicated website for the show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. On there, and I mentioned off the air to Brad that one of the recent guests was Sam Walker of the Wall Street Journal. He did a really great work and wrote The Captain Class, The Hidden Forces That Create the World's Greatest Teams. And on that note, again, my guest this evening is Brad Stolberg. He wrote the book Peak Performance. Now, could we discuss, Brad, what role does technology play in a person's performance in at work?
So it's the gift and the curse. I think that technology is unquestionably hugely beneficial in just about any pursuit, if it's used mindfully. I think that where technology can be detrimental to performance is when it's not used mindfully and it kind of becomes an ongoing distraction. We don't have to go too far down the rabbit hole, excuse me, for example. So take email.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that email is an enormous performance enhancer. You used to have to send a message via snail mail, and it could take days or a week to get a message across. Or you'd have to call someone long distance and pay more money. And some people aren't as comfortable speaking on the phone because they're more introverted and they like to think through things and write them out. Email solves all those problems, right? Huge performance enhancer. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that is anyone in a profession that relies on email knows what it's like to have an inbox that they can never keep up with. And to constantly see the little ding at the bottom right-hand corner of their computer lighting up saying, you've got a new email, you've got a new email, you've got a new email. Right. And people can spend entire days and never have the opportunity to get into a nice zone of deep focus work because they're being pinged by email, by their phone, by all of these digital technologies. So again, not good or bad. It's a huge gray area, and I think it really comes down to how we use these technologies. What the best entrepreneurs and the best creatives and the best intellectuals that I interviewed for the book, they all told me the same thing, which is they're very deliberate and very explicit about when they use technology. So simple strategies go a long way. Batch processing your email. So instead of constantly looking at your email and being distracted by it, taking 2 or 3 half-hour chunks throughout the day when all you do is respond to emails. Removing your cell phone when you want to do deep focus work. This is a huge practice that I've picked up. When I sit down to work on my latest column, I make sure that my phone is nowhere in sight, not even on the table turned off face down. I keep it in the other room because if I know if it's around, I'm either going to check it or I'm going to be so tempted to check it that the energy that I use resisting checking it is just wasted energy that could be used for the work I'm doing. So it's a long-winded way of saying I think technology is a blessing and a curse, and it just depends on how we use it.
Wow. Now, let's face it, this is really on the topic of avoiding burnout. Most people experience some type of failure at some point, either in their life or their career. What tips do you have on just, picking yourself up out of bootstraps and charging forward?
So it's hard not to go down the road of cliches because there are so many.
Right.
But I try to approach this really, really logically. And the way that I like to think of it is failure serves as information. And that information can be an area that you're weak and you need to improve on. It can be information about yourself and how you handle the failure and how you react. It can be information, are you in the right line of work? Are you really doing what you love? It's a great chance to ask yourself, am I truly committed to this process, whatever it is I'm doing? Because if you're not, then maybe that failure is a beautiful gift because it tells you you don't care enough to deal with it. You should transition and do something else. So I think that reframing failure from this kind of devastating point-in-time setback to information on a broader path of mastery and on a broader progression of getting better is enormously helpful. And then the other thing, and again, this is going to sound cliche, but there's enough science supporting it where I don't feel bad saying it, is just to have some perspective. If you stargaze or look at the moon or take a hike in nature, you realize just how small we are in this great big universe. And what seems like a personal failure that at the time it happens can seem like your whole world is imploding. When you step back and gain some perspective, you kind of realize that it's actually pretty, generally speaking, it's pretty minuscule and trivial.
Mm. Now, which habits?
Just to tie this loop and be tactical, for me, perspective is always helpful. So even before failure, when I'm feeling really stressed about something in my life, going on a day hike in the Redwood Regional Park where I live and just being amongst massive trees that have been around longer than me, right. it helps calm me down and just puts things in perspective.
Right. Now I just want to move on from as we approach the close. Okay, that was an example of someone that, has to make that decision about charging forward. In the book, you also discuss what distinguishes good from great or great from good.
Yeah, so it's two things. I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't a kind of genetic or innate component. So talent, right? Inborn DNA, that absolutely matters, particularly for more physical pursuits. Like as much as I practice basketball, odds are I'd never be in the NBA because I'm a 5'11" white Jewish guy that can't jump. Don't have the innate talent to do that. Now, the flip side is, you can nurture your nature and get the most out of your talent in pretty massive ways. So if you find an area that you have a natural inclination toward and you practice in the right way, and by the right way, I mean deep focus, no distractions, following this notion of stress plus rest equals growth, and you commit to it for a long period of time and you're consistent with it, then you'd be shocked at how great you can become. Now, that's easy to say, but it's hard to do, right? Because a lot of times what happens is we get distracted. Or, like you said, we experience some short-term failures that take us off of a longer-term path. But those that are able to stick with the path and be consistent and show up and put in the work and do so in a smart, wise way, you can become really, really good at most things. And if you have some innate talent, you can become outstanding, world-class.
Brad, I can't believe, you know, the time goes so fast and these interviews, especially when I have such a great guest like yourself. Any final takeaways for the listeners on Mind Your Business?
No, I don't think so. You know, I really appreciate the listeners' interest, and I hope that individuals listening to the show can consider reading the book. And whether you read the book or not, you can visit my Twitter page or my website and get in touch with me there, because hopefully it's clear I'm really passionate about this topic and love engaging with readers.
Folks, that was Brad Stolberg, his new book, Peak Performance. Again, one lucky listener is going to get it. All you have to do is send a text, 64600, put in the letters MYB. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to get it. And otherwise, it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, around the world, at bookstores nationwide. That's, I think, a little bit more accurate. Tune in again. That brings to the close another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. Have a great week.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.